give you swag. Won't he give you confidence? Won't he, Willie? Willie, won't he? Won't he make your enemies your footstool? Won't God do it? Say yes. Say yes. Won't he, Willie? I got a feeling. Tell somebody. I got a feeling that everything, every good thing, every bad thing, every big thing, every little thing, it's gonna be all right. Yeah, yeah, yes. I'm about to go on, but I want you to help me. Grab your neighbor and shake him and rock him and shake him, and say, neighbor, overcome fear. Be confident that the Lord is on your side. Yes, he is. Tell him, yes, he is. Tell him, yes, he is. I'm here to confirm it.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Well, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. If you have it, say amen. All right, I want us to read together beginning now.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you.
For just a little while, I'm going to have my reader to share other scriptures with you, but I would also like you to turn when those scriptures are mentioned so that you can see it in the text. But just for a little while, I want to speak from the subject, God finishes what he starts. God finishes what he starts. I want you to help me preach this. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, God finishes what he starts. If there's another neighbor on the other side, turn to them and say, neighbor, God finishes what he starts. Amen. Now give him a hand of praise if you believe that today. One of the ways that we can see this, this paradigm, this truth, this example, is found in the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis, chapter 1. It begins with, in the beginning, God
created the heaven and the earth. 2 says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, every phrase that began a new movement of God began with the phrase, and God said. Once again, you'll see it in verse 3. You'll see it in verse 6. You'll see it in verse 9, in verse 11, in verse 14, in verse 20, in verse 24, in verse 26, and in verse 29. That's the last time it says, and God says. But in verse 31, it said, and God saw. Read that.
Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day.
All right. Now listen to this. At the end of his creation, the Bible said, after he got through saying, he saw. This is one of the beginning principles of faith. We've got to learn to say what we want to see. He did not see what he said until he said what he wanted to see. When he started, there was nothing. He stood on nothing that was located nowhere. And everything that was because he opened up his mouth and said. He spoke it. He released it. And when he released it, he saw it. Listen, you are not become disturbed, people of faith, when you don't see what you want. God has given us the ability to create within the framework of faith that we desire according to his word by speaking those things that be not as though they were. He is the primary, supreme example of speaking things of faith. He said, and then he saw. And then when he saw that it was good. So what did that say to me? That said to me, everything God said, he thought it out so well that he didn't have to re-say. He didn't have to change his mind. He didn't have to remake it, remix it. When he spoke it the first time, it was well. And chapter 2, verse 1, let me show you, because again, we're talking about what God starts, he finishes. And he finishes what he starts. Chapter 2, verse 1 and 2.
Verse 1.
Genesis.
Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished.
Finished. Read.
And all the host of them.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 2. And on the seventh day, mm-hmm. God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Now, that's clear to us that God did what he did. When he did what he did, he then rested. Too many of us take too many breaks. Never get back to what we're trying to do. When you think about it, and I looked at my own life when I was preparing this message, and I think about over the years of my life, how many things have I started that I did not finish. I should think that the end of life will be different for many of us, but I can tell you some of our greatest regrets won't be what we did wrong, or not even what we did right. But I believe that some of our greatest regrets will be that we started stuff and never finished. How different would your life be today if you think about some of the major projects in your life you started and you did not finish? You know, my brothers and sisters, a lot of us like to, you know, get all excited about starting, and that's all wonderful and good about starting. But do you know it's better to finish? Because here's why. If you start something that you don't finish, there is, again, a creation that started but was never created nor brought to life nor finished its purpose of its design. And what would have been, what could have been if we had followed it through? Many of us have good starts, but we don't have follow through. I think about people in ministry, how they'll start off in ministry, get disgusted, become disturbed. They leave the ministry. They leave that ministry position, be in the choir, some of God's best singers. They get mad. They get out the choir, go sit in the pew. They still singing in the pew. But you let people sidetrack you, disturb you, distress you, cause you to turn away from the God who saved you because you mad, and causes you to not follow through on what God has called you to do. You can't let other folk steal your joy, deter your purpose. In spite of what other folk feel, listen, if talking about you would stop you from getting the glory, then none of us would make it, including Jesus. They called him a deceiver, a blasphemer, a liar, on and on and on. They talked about him, talked about his parents birthed him in being unwedlocked, he was literally illegitimate is what they were saying. All of these things they said about Jesus. If Jesus would have allowed them to let talk stop him, even when he was on the cross dying, if you be the Son of God, come down off the cross, save yourself and us. But he didn't let talk. He didn't even let the backstabbers turn him. He kept his focus forward. And I got to throw this out parenthetically about backstabbers. Even when folks stab you in the back, it's a suggestion you're in front of them. They're just trying to keep you from going where you're going. I've learned over these 30 years to be thankful for haters. Why, Pastor? Why are you thankful for haters? Do you know how they've lied on you, made bad reputation on you, said all kind of damnable things about you? One, they can't prove it because it's a lie. But two, even if it was true, they talked about me instead of talking to me to help me, so they weren't right about it. And when I go down, haters kept me down on my knees. And this is what I discovered. When I came up off my knees, God put the haters under my feet and made them footstools, which actually lifted me up higher. You ought to thank God for the haters. Matter of fact, the next time you see a hater, you know it's a hater, you ought to say, thank you, brother. Because I wouldn't be what I am, who I am, or where I am if you hadn't been hating on me so bad. I had to look one time, my brothers and sisters, at hater was hating on me so bad. I had to sit back and I looked at myself. I said, if I wasn't me, I'd be hating on me too. Because God's been mighty good to me. And I've got to give him the praise. Not me, but the God in me. Second thing, listen, I need you to know, is that he that has begun a good work in you. I like the way Paul puts this. He's confident. The word literally means he's persuaded that there is no doubt, no lack, no miss or unbelief about what he's speaking about. What God has begun in us, he's going to complete it. He's going to finish it until the day of Christ. Now, there are two things I want you to see in this. First of all, God has called all of us. Our higher purpose is to Christ. You didn't call yourself to God. God called you to God. And he called you to him through Christ. The only way you can get to God is through Jesus. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. A man can go to the Father, but he can only get there by me. So it was God the Father and God the Son, but it's also God the Holy Spirit who works in the believer to help him or her hear and heed the call. In other words, I don't know who will be saved. God hadn't given me a printout and said, go tell so-and-so, you must follow Christ. No, but what he has done is called me to preach to everyone within my concentric circle of contact. Now, it doesn't mean that everybody's going to be saved. It doesn't mean that everybody that visits Greater King David is going to be members of Greater King David. But what it does mean is every time I get the opportunity to stand and preach the gospel, every time I get the opportunity to be a witness for Jesus Christ, every time I have the proud privilege of sharing the gospel with whosoever will, it then is the responsibility of the Holy Spirit to come in and convict that person's heart and convince them to come to Jesus. I can't make nobody come to Jesus. That's not even my job. I'm just a presenter of the Prince of Peace. I'm just bringing forth truth. The Holy Ghost takes that truth that I've spoken, and in the ear of man, he begins to unfold it, unpack it, so that that person will recognize that that truth is concerning them. And that's where the Holy Ghost comes in. He's our other comforter. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 14, verse 16. Rita.
John chapter 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever.
He may abide with you how long?
Forever.
Now, here is the point. Jesus in the flesh could only go to one person's house at a time. If he were here today and he said, John, I'm going to you, going to be with you and your family at your house, well, that means he couldn't be with the chairman. He couldn't be with the choir member's house and couldn't be at your house because he was in the flesh. It limited him. But he was going back to be with the Father because his mission was going to be finished. When his mission would be finished, his purpose on earth done, completed, ended, he's going back up to glory. But he's praying the Father that he would send us another comforter, the paraclete, the one called alongside us in time of trouble to come and assist us and do everything Jesus did in the earth realm. Listen, not just for one, but for all at the same time. So the Holy Spirit is our helper. But listen at this. God has called us to salvation, but salvation is not all there is. There must be sanctification. See, the sanctification is a ministry of the Holy Spirit. You see, one of the things that we've got to recognize is that the Holy Ghost is yet daily working on us. No man, woman, girl, or boy, after receiving Jesus Christ, had become immediately perfect. Our righteousness is not even our own righteousness. It is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So therefore, it is the Holy Ghost who each and every day teaches us how to talk like Jesus, walk like Jesus, live like Jesus, be like Jesus, witness about Jesus. He is the one who keeps working on us, making us more and more like Jesus. When he brings us to that place, he also purposes us in this life to do a thing that's going to bring God the glory. That's part of his job, to help us understand, identify our purpose, find our calling or our field of labor, and begin to work out of our soul salvation. You see, in other words, you don't come into church to be saved and just sit on the pews and do nothing. God didn't save you to be in the church or the body of Christ, which is larger than the local church, to do nothing. God has purposed you in the body to be a part that certainly helps to lift up Jesus, to magnify Jesus, to share the word of Jesus through your life. Every ministry in the church should be a ministry that extends Jesus to others. Every ministry. If Jesus is not at the heart of your ministry, then your ministry is wrong. No matter what it is. I mean, everything from cooking to cleaning to singing, I mean, to witnessing to missions, all of it has to do with Jesus Christ. And we've got to be cognizant of that. He didn't save you to sit you down and let you be entertained. He's called you in the kingdom for a purpose. You're a member of the body, which has a function. And every part of the body has a specific purpose. And that's what the Holy Ghost is there to do. To help us. You know when God wants to use you and you're not really wanting to do it, the Holy Ghost makes you feel uneasy. I know I ought to be doing more. I know that's something God wants me to do. On and on. All that, because the Holy Ghost is trying to get you to that place where you do what you've been saved to do. So one, the work he's begun in you is salvation. Somebody say salvation. But the second work he's begun in you is service. Somebody say service. He saved you to serve. He saved you to serve. And you serve him by serving men. And you'll never be complete until you find your service in Christ. But I want you to know something else. Turn to Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Because God always finishes what he starts. He always finishes what he starts. That's our salvation and that's our service ministry. Now, you might not like the service that God has called you to minister in, but he didn't make it for you to like it. He made it for you to do it so he can like it. Remember this. If you don't like serving in the ministry that you've been given, see God about it. And you're going to know that he put every member in the body where it best fits. And you fit in where God wanted you to be in. You might want to be another part of the body, operating in another part, because certain parts get more glory than the other parts, but every part is necessary. See yourself the way God sees you, as a necessary part of the body. You are somebody. And you've got to know that, and you've got to confidently know that, and you've got to be persuaded by that, that God has saved you. You didn't save yourself, and God is going to save you to perfection till the coming of Jesus Christ, and he's going to use you until your life is over with. Jonah didn't want to serve in the ministry God called him to, but I got news for you. When God assigns you and anoints you and appoints you, you might as well like it, because if you don't, you're going to do it anyhow. That's why the psalmist say, serve the Lord with gladness. Gladness. Jonah tried to run from the assignment like many of you have been doing. And that all you do is run into trouble. Every time you run from the Lord and run into trouble, it's a reminder, ding dong, you're running in the wrong direction. You ought to be running to me, but you're running from me. Jonah had to be thrown overboard. And I think because he hated the Ninevites so badly, he wanted to drown. Lord, just kill me. Y'all throw me over. They did all they could to not throw him over, threw over goods and all of that, trying to lighten the ship. But listen, when God's got your name and your number, can't nobody do nothing to help you. Finally, they had to throw Jonah overboard. And when they threw him overboard, Jonah thought that was it. But God said, not so. You went in a boat, went down to the bottom, tried to hide from me, got on a ship going in the opposite direction. You tried to go away from my will, but I let you get far enough from the bank where you couldn't swim. Y'all don't hear me? And far enough out that you had no safety without me. And then God, the Bible says, prepared a great fish. A great fish. Now, whether it was just this one fish he prepared, or whether it was a fish that had a nature whereby its digestive system did not dissolve its food like most fish would. Most fish don't do like us. They don't chew their food 32 times. They swallow it whole. Goes down into their system. In their digestive system is where the digestive juices begin to break down everything that is in that. We have those same juices called enzymes in our bodies that break down all of that matter. And so God calls this fish, if it wasn't but temporary, to suspend his enzyme production while Jonah was in there. Jonah came to himself, said, it's prayer time. He started praying, and while he was praying, he started changing his mind. You know what? It was better on the ship than in this fish. And then he started thinking, you know what? It was better in Nineveh to go that way than to be where I am. And when he finally got his mind right, God caused and programmed the fish to turn around and go all the way back to Nineveh and drop him off on the seashores of Nineveh.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ.